Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Barbecue Bob, deer season is in full swing, my brother. They are running everywhere. You're hearing about them, at least where we are, getting hit with arrows as well as vehicles. But I'm a little amped up because we're going to have a little trip here after the show.
That's right. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It's kind of hard to talk with hillbilly jerky chewing going on there, isn't it?
That's right. But you know what? I'm blessed that it's here because
You're also lucky because Siciliano's brought us the beer of the week.
Right. Cerveza El Sully. It's a Mexican-style lager. It comes from California, right out by Napa. And it's kind of a light lager, only 4.8% alcohol. You know, our friends at Siciliano's, you know, they were here last week. We featured beer. And I got a couple really nice comments on our Facebook page. But people appreciated the beer education.
Katie Spade.
Right, yeah. She is one expert. And, you know, we love to surround ourselves with experts. And the friends at Siciliano's know beer and wine. You can buy this for $1.99 a can. And you know what? Give it a try. I'm a thumbs up on this one. I like it.
I love it. Right. It goes great with hillbilly jerky from Sobey Meats. And the delivery boy for Sobey's is here, Tim Sobey.
Yeah, thanks for letting me come in for some Mexican beer today, too, and jerky.
You can't do that.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Good to be here.
Yeah, start your Saturday off with a mouthful of meat stick and a Mexican beer.
You know
it's going to be a great weekend, right?
That's a cross between Polish and Mexican. Didn't we have a restaurant like that in Grand Rapids?
Yeah.
Jose Babushka?
That was one. Yeah, they're still going, too.
Uh-huh. Yep. Well, so it's For the Woodsman grilling guy. That's the guy we're doing the show this weekend for. And the guy that's the woodsman that wants to go up and go to deer camp, go to duck hunting. I'll tell you what, I was at deer camp last weekend. And, of course, we have Whipple Lake right in the middle. And about 8 o'clock, 8:30 every morning, there's all kinds of lakes all around us. And so you'll hear boom, 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 boom.
It's duck season.
Yes, it is. And the duck commanders are out there.
Right.
And there's a lot of duck, I'll tell you. We have a bunch on our lake, and it's a private lake, so that's why there's still a bunch.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a few guys out there busting them probably. How's that do for your deer hunting, though?
Doesn't affect it at all.
Right, exactly. Yep, they're oblivious to it,
yeah.
Right?
I had I put these trail cams. I went to Menards and bought some very cheap trail cams, and they were $39 a piece. And I hung them, and the last couple weekends I've been looking at my photos, and we have a monster on the property.
Yeah, he's big and black, isn't he?
He's big, and Bullwinkle rack, and oh my goodness, I can't wait to get up there this afternoon. When we're done with the show here, I'm taking Jop up for a little Whipple Lake treat.
Man, we're going overnight. We're going to cook on open flames, and we might even get in a deer stand. Who knows?
Well, I'll definitely be in a deer stand. I got five of them waiting for me.
Yeah.
But I will be bringing home a deer this weekend.
Is that right? You're going to jinx yourself, dude.
No, I know where to go if I just want a doe. And I've already scoped out.
Got one tied to the tree or something?
Kind of. I've scoped out a few of the older dominant does up there and know which one I want.
I see.
I can find the right one. You know, they pattern right now. They're not screwed up yet.
No pun intended. It is rut season.
No, it's not. It's not yet. It's we're close, but so they're still patterning. And it's pretty easy. You can just about time them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last weekend I had a fork come in, and he was all scarred up. He looked like he's been in the wrong hood. And I noticed he had a couple doe with him, and he just came wandering through, and he was real sketchy. I'm up in my 22-footer, and He's like right under me, like real sketchy, like something's wrong with this picture. And
smells like Nurmico around these, here.
And I was all cleansed. I was perfect. So he couldn't smell me. But
dude, there is no such thing as you being all cleansed. So, I'm sorry. I'm not buying that.
Okay. Well, I was as scent-free as I probably have ever been. And other than the odorous, you know, gases that might have leaked off.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm saying.
But So these two doe came in with him, and they sat down right underneath me, a couple cuties. And then they got up and walked around, and I noticed they had little nubs on their heads. They were twin buttons.
Oh.
So that was pretty funny. I've never had three little bucks underneath me at the same time.
Right.
It's just a little different.
They're all hanging out together, but they were, right?
It's still this time of year.
Right.
So the little guys are just learning.
Yeah. So, you know, Tim Sobey's here from Sobey Meats joining us, and he's a wealth of knowledge, and we're going to cover a lot of stuff as we go through this. But one of the things that a lot of people do is with their venison is, to me, they don't let venison be venison. They try to doctor it up so much and cover it up with so many spices or marinades or whatever to try to take the gaminess out of it. And I guess you can do that, but in my opinion, you're eating venison. You want that venison flavor. If you don't like it, don't eat it. It's all good.
That's a timely comment, because what I'm going to talk about next is a marinade for backstraps.
I'm good like that. I'm good like that, yeah.
And here's where I'll part company from you. There are times when you've shot a larger, older buck, and they're going to have a little bit, maybe less sweet meat than you want. And you'll know it right off the bat if you cook a little up, and if it's like, well, that's just not as good as the 3-year-old doe I shot last year. So in that case, yeah, you're going to do a little bit more to doctor up your meat. So there's a marinade you can use for backstrap. It's really simple. And it's buttermilk, eggs, pepper, and kosher salt. And you just slice up your backstrap kind of thin.
Into like steaks?
Yep, chops. And I think chop would be the proper term, wouldn't it?
Yep.
It's a chop. And you marinate it for 3-4 hours in this buttermilk.
And so, Tim, what does that do to the meat? The buttermilk and the salt I get is a cure, but what is?
Yeah, and that you're going to displace the blood with, I'll say, the qualities of that buttermilk.
Okay.
So it's going to extract that, I'll say, that gaminess of the blood. As it's pulling in, something's got to give. So as
you're
pulling that buttermilk in, blood's coming out.
So there's an enzyme in buttermilk, too, right? I mean, all milk has enzymes in it. Is that breaking that down a little bit, maybe, too? I'm not the scientist to know that.
I don't know. I just know that it's a
it's an
ancient Chinese secret.
Right, yeah. Wait a minute. We just had cerveza a second ago. Yeah. Now we're already over Chinese man. This is
thing.
A world tour of the grilling guys, yeah.
Let Choy make Chinese food.
So I don't know. what buttermilk does, but I think Jop's on the right track there. There are enzymes in buttermilk more so than like a lot of other milks.
Mm-hmm.
It's in that fermenting process, so there's got to be.
And butter fats, real quickly, Hillhoff, they have organic milk non-pasteurized. And they were just in yesterday to deliver and talking about that, and the healthy fats in buttermilk is going back to old school.
And who came in from Hillhoff?
My cousin Connie.
Connie?
Yep.
Well, you know her husband, William.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I shot my first buck on their farm.
Oh, did
they're
you?
My
wonderful
old family
people.
They're my old family friends.
Oh, nice.
And Connie's your cousin.
Yes.
I was at, I stood up and, no, I
that's stand. Way too close to being related to Bob.
I didn't.
Tim, man, wow.
He's jealous. You can just see it.
Yeah.
It's okay. You still get to go to deer camp.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about deer cleaning basics. You're not going to want to miss this because it's coming from the expert guy that's nickname is Meat. So stick with us. We'll be back. Hey, this is Jop from The Grilling Guys. Build or redecorate with composite decking by TimberTech. Now through July 31st, you can save an extra 5% when you purchase both your composite decking and premium deck railing from Standard Lumber. TimberTech decking starts at $1.75 per lineal foot and is available in many styles and finishes. Visit your local Standard Lumber location for details and enjoy the outdoors on your new redecorated deck. Check them out at standardlumber.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hey, you shot my cow!
It's the second week of deer camp. I got a swollen head. I'm lying with the dust balls
underneath my bed. Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It is about the second week of deer camp. I've been to a couple of them already, and going back again this weekend, Barbecue Bob. But we're live in the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen studios, and Bob, our friends at Standard Kitchen, are having a tired kitchen contest. Take a few pictures of your kitchen. And go to the standardkitchens.com website. You'll see a link to the contest. Send the pictures and give them 100 words or less of why you think your kitchen should be the one they replace. They're giving away two prizes, one for $5,000 worth of cabinetry and another one for $3,000. So that thing ends at the end of November, so you got a little bit of time. But take some shots. You don't need it, Bob. I know we got your kitchen taken care of. But
that'd be a good one.
Yeah. But they're doing some cool stuff there, so
awesome,
check it out.
Awesome. So I told you I was heading up to Jay's Sporting Goods last weekend. And
did you leave some of your hard-earned money there?
I did. I picked up a nice range finder. So
wait a minute. You were going there for a bow case last week.
I know. I didn't.
Didn't get
I
one?
I didn't find the one I liked.
Oh.
No.
Found a range finder you liked, though, huh?
Well, I did. Only because my range finder took a crap.
Oh.
And my bow case is still halfway decent.
40 yards, right? That's all the farther you're going to shoot with that bow.
You don't understand bow hunting, okay? When you get a bow and start hunting, you'll understand.
I got a crossbow that shoots flat up to 40 yards. I'm good.
I'm going to bring my target out with you, and we're going to set it up at 65 yards and see how you do.
Right. I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. I'll figure it out.
We have these ongoing little things where Jopp will, have an issue with something I say and want to call bull. Oops, didn't say that. So we're going to bring him up to deer camp today and just
65 yards with your compound bow. Everybody's calling bull. Can it be done? Sure. Regularly? Probably.
If you practice at whatever length it is, you can take a shotgun and you can practice at 200 yards and you can get good at 200 yards.
Sure.
With a rifle-barreled shotgun.
Sure. I suppose you could.
And everybody else will tell you 125 is all you can do.
Right.
So,
but not a Nurmico gun or a Nurmico bow. They shoot farther.
Do you hear a little envy here?
I'm not sure it's envy.
Tim,
I'm just glad I got boots on today. That's all.
Okay. Well, you can help me.
You can help me
clean my deer.
I will do that.
And I'll wake you up.
Right.
And I'll have you come on out.
I'll make sure I'm sitting just 70 yards away from you, though, because I don't want to get shot.
125 yards shot from my bow.
With my pants down.
Yeah, right.
Why?
I was squatting next to a tree.
So anyway.
So let's talk about deer cleaning basics.
All right.
Because I think this is an area that we want to drill into people to get them to do the proper things to make sure their meat is safe.
Biggest thing I would tell anybody is gut them within 4 hours of them dying.
Okay.
Hands down, bar none. different times guys will say, oh, I shot it last night. I went there the next morning and the snow was melted around it, whatever. Horse crap. If you don't get them gutted within 4 hours, they're so well insulated, they'll start to decay from the inside out.
Right.
And you lost your deer.
Now, what if you lost your deer and you just found it 10 hours later? Leave it.
Yeah, I mean, unless if it's a wall mounter, hey, you know, do what you need to do and,
so are you,
you know, take the time to get
so
it.
So are you saying that a lot of that meat's going to have trouble? Let's say it was 30 degrees out, 35, 40 degrees out last night. You just found it finally this morning after 12 hours.
It's done.
Is it?
It's done.
Take the back straps and run?
Not even.
Not even back straps. Best way, let's say if you found that deer, that back leg muscle is that solid meat muscle, so you don't even have to gut it to find out. If you peel that skin back on that back leg and that solid meat muscle and take your knife and cut down towards the bone and spread that meat apart, get in there and take a good sniff like you're on prom night, and if it smells...
Goodness sake!
You can't say that on the radio. But nonetheless, I mean, if almost smells like baby poop, I mean, the whole deer is sour. It's no good.
Right.
So even if you were to dress them out and it's kind of like green down by the flanks, down in that in that bottom end, you lost that deer.
Yeah. Yep. And there's no, you can't rinse it off. You can't,
buttermilk, you can't do anything with it. The deer is gone. So at that point, if that's a wall mounter, well, I know if it was me, I'm going to tag it. You know, I'm going to painstakingly go through gutting it, but I'm going to get it back, get it caped out, and mount that deer.
Right.
Otherwise, just leave it alone because you're going to burn a tag, waste money in taking care of it where there's nothing good to eat out of it anyways.
Right. Will it hurt you? I mean, it cause you illness if you eat it? It certainly won't taste good.
It's going to taste crappy. I mean, you're going to take a bite and spit it out anyway. So
yeah.
Will it hurt you? No. It's just, you know, when
spoiled. Because the guts are in it.
Yes.
So it's the intestinal problem? Is that the biggest thing? Is the gastrointestinal tract that's...
Well, it's not just that because they got to vent out. So you could even take and gut a deer, and then if you didn't get it opened up to let that cavity vent out, that deer will still end up souring. So even a deer is so well insulated, let's say at a processor and they have, you know, hundreds of deer all stacked up, even though a deer is dead, they're so well insulated, stacked on top of each other with the hide on it, they actually will produce heat.
Yes.
And they'll cook themselves.
It's like spontaneous combustion. It's like, wow. It's like a pile of wood chips.
And you see those, too, at bigger processors. They aren't hanging. They're laid in a pile.
And what if it's 50 degrees out?
They're going to cook even quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So biggest thing, get them gutted out within 4 hours of shooting them. And I've had deer in the past where they were right on the border of, boy, is this good or not? And I asked the guy about how long did this lay before he got it gutted, and one of them was 3.5 hours, and another guy was just over 4 hours. And
that's kind of the magic number, huh?
4 hours is the magic number.
So if you do it in the first half hour, you're golden.
You're golden. Yep. Sure. So get them gutted out, and so as I say, gut them, hang them, rinse them, dry them.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is there any issue with spraying them out with water?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And we can talk about that more in just a second. So I would say there's a way to do it if you're going to mount the buck. There's another way to do it if you're going to eat a young buck or a doe and not have it for a trophy.
Okay.
So two different ways to take care
of it. Right. Big difference.
Big difference, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I know where you're headed, and I hope I'm right. But
yep.
That's good. We'll talk about that soon. In the next segment, I think we should talk about that and then finding the right cuts of meat.
Well, it's interesting because the animal has the same cuts of meat as other animals. They might not be called that, but from a butcher's standpoint, it's like, how do I process this to get a ribeye,
right?
Or to get a T-bone? Where does that come from on a deer or a rump roast or round steak or all of those things? And I think that's interesting. Because just like in a cow, that has different flavors as you move around the animal.
Yep.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But so coming up next, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the anatomy of your buck and see what cuts are going to be best for what type of recipes. Maybe it's on the grill, maybe it's on the smoker, maybe it's in a frying pan, or even, heaven forbid, a Dutch oven. Stick with us. We'll be back.
It's the greatest time of year. I remember playing poker. That weasel must have won. He's wearing mine with swampers and sleeping with my gun. He's snoring like a chainsaw. The camp smells like a dump. And someone's dirty.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made snack foods are better made.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, and we're talking field dressing and cutting up your deer. And we've got our board of directors member, Tim Sobey, and resident butcher extraordinaire, who's imparting a little bit of his knowledge on us. And let's pick up where we left off, Bob. We were talking a little bit about the finishing up on the field dressing, right?
Yeah,
right.
How to properly butcher a deer. And everybody has their own, I guess, practice that maybe dad taught you or your uncle or your buddy, wherever you learned to process a deer. Or maybe you didn't. Maybe you're just out there and you're teaching yourself as you go and you're watching YouTube videos. But, I mean, everybody has their own style. No matter what style I mention, Job's going to disagree with it. So I'll let you do it. What would you say?
I would say, you know, the biggest things are gut them, hang them, rinse them, and dry them. And so two different methods, though. If you have that nice wall mount or buck, then if water can rot meat as quickly, if not quicker, than warm weather. So let's say you got that mount or buck. In my opinion, if it's me, I'm going to hang it from the head because then that moisture can't gather up in the neck and rot that meat out. So at least you can get it rinsed and the water will go down, you know, back through the back legs. Take that pelvis bone, break that open. And then after you've rinsed it all out, take paper towel, whatever, kind of pat it dry, put a stick in there, whatever you got to open that cavity and let it properly cool. And what a huge difference that makes to the meat.
But you might want to cut those tenderloins out of there right away.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And that's going on the fire that day.
Yes.
If you have...
And that's really important because if you hang your deer with those in there, they're going to get kind of dried out.
Yep.
They're not going to be as good as if you take them right away and put them in Ziploc.
Sure.
Rinse them off.
If you put them in a Ziploc, make sure they're cooled 100% before you zip that up. Or if they don't properly cool off and they're still warm, they actually will sour in the bag.
So you could just throw them on some ice first.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Or even if you put them in a refrigerator or cooler, just so they cool down, then it's going.
Not
ahead.
With the bag sealed. It needs
not
to be
with
open.
The bag sealed. Leave the bag
breathe.
Open. Yeah.
So
otherwise,
it's going to gasify a little bit. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it'll almost do the same thing of souring that meat as if you didn't dress that deer quick enough.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Gassy Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking about gassy deer meat. I never knew that.
Yep. And now the other way is, let's say you got a doe, you got an antlerless deer or a small buck. You're not going to get it mounted.
Which is a bulk of the kill.
Which is the bulk, yep. And that in that fashion, then the best thing is cut them all the way up to the chin, get the windpipe out, the esophagus, hang them head down always, rinse them, and then that water can escape all the way up. It'll run up and, you know, give them a little chin bath, but all the way from the crotch to the gullet, all the way up to the top.
If you're not eating the neck meat, you can just take that as much of that neck and stuff off as soon as possible anyway, right?
Sure.
I mean,
yep.
It's there's some good meat up there if you're grinding it. That's
yes,
it.
Absolutely. Yep. And so that way, if you're not going to mount the animal, hang it head down. They'll drain out, bleed out so much better.
And the significance of that is you want that out of there. You want the blood out of there.
Yep.
Right? Because what does that do if it's not out of there?
You're going to hold all that extra blood in the muscle tissue anyway, right. Just like you will with that buck you're going to mount. You hang it head up. Well, that blood now is gonna pool up in the back legs.
It gives you that metallic taste.
Yeah,
it's like a metal flavor, which is what a lot of people don't like about venison.
Mm-hmm.
So if you because it wasn't aged properly, it wasn't cured, I should say properly.
Yeah, and bleed them out. Yeah. Get that blood out of there.
So if you go to, I got again, it's a plug for Menards. They should sponsor us. But a couple years ago, Menards had these. They look like a coat hanger. And then a pulley, and you put it
gambrel,
in the back
right?
legs.
Yep, right. Gambrel
and,
hook.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're $20, and you can just spread it between the legs, hoist that baby up by yourself.
Yep.
Which is always the trick, because usually cutting your deer by yourself out where you shot it. I mean, if you hunt like most of us, you're by yourself, you know, a quarter mile from everybody else, or a couple hundred yards from everybody else.
At least 70 yards.
Yeah, or 65.
Yeah. I need a five-yard buffer.
And true, I mean, that the block and tackle with that gambrel hook on it, that is the tool for the job. Because even if you take it up a little bit at a time, you know, you pull that rope back, it'll hold on to itself. You know, wrap it on something. And there again, yeah, that's like three guys, you know, into one.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Well, and it's very important.
Yes.
Right.
And you want to properly take care of the meat. And a lot of times people say, oh, that venison, oh, it's so gamey. It's so this, it's so that. Well,
right. Yeah,
because you didn't take care of it properly. You know, you got it full of weeds and giggly weeds and acorns and
so how about skinning it right off the bat, too?
Skinning it, if let's say you're going to have to get back in town and you're going to be going down, it's going to be in the back of your pickup, you'd almost be better to leave the hide on it to keep that meat cleaner. It's going to make the job a lot easier.
Especially
when
if you're on a trailer and there's snow on the road with salt
and grime and all that other
that.
Stuff. Yeah. If you had the ability, let's say you guys are going to be a week in deer camp and you get it first day or 2 days and you're going to be up there longer and you got the time to do it, hey, go ahead and peel that hide off, pull the back straps out, you know, part that animal out and bring it home, you know, in your cooler. Obviously, you got to have, you know, have it tagged and, you know, the sex and all that happy jazz with it. But
so when I was growing up, my dad would go to deer camp and it was a 2 week family deal, right? And if they shot one in the first day or two or three, it would hang there in the tree for a week and a half. I mean, it was cold out, right? It's November in Michigan. But talk to me about that. I mean, just I don't.
That's why people grew up thinking they didn't like venison.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you were, let's say ahead of time you're in deer camp for a week or 2 weeks and you know we're going to cut this thing up before we go back home and just bring the parts of it anyway, my opinion, get it hung up.
Bone that baby right now.
Get that hide right off it. And then if you have the means to get it rinsed with clean water, you're going to clean it on the inside and out. So any hair, anything that's on there is all cleaned off. Now when it's properly cooled, you're ready to pull back straps out, get the back hams, get that nice steak meat out of there.
Why not hang it upside down and do your boning method? I've seen some great videos. I'm going to try it this year, hopefully tonight, of boning it hanging and just bringing back nothing but pure meat. I always quarter it up, and I think I'd rather leave that carcass up north than bring it back and let the coyotes of Lowell take care of it.
Sure, I agree, and it's very easy, especially if they're hanging head down, processing them. You know that we did before was always a very simple way to do that, and basically bone it out while it's hanging there.
Chop and I have some really cool big white coolers,
right?
And I got a couple of those big bags of ice. I'm just going to throw it in there, and I'm going to try just boning one on the spot, throwing it on.
Gravity's got to help you.
Oh yeah,
you know when it's hanging upside down like that, and then right.
So then let's say I shoot one tonight, bone it out tomorrow.
Yep,
Let it hang for a day.
Yep.
So it doesn't bleed out in the cooler.
Right.
It's going to bleed out better.
It'll bleed out way better hanging like that. It's designed the way the heart is to pump everything back, you know, to the back of the animal. So hanging head down, it's already designed that way that it's going to bleed out better hanging head down.
So not to get too gross, but do you decapitate them? Would that help if it were a doe? It's not a trophy anyway. Do you just take the head right off? You said go up to like the chin and through the esophagus stuff.
Yeah.
Could you do that, or is that not something that you?
No, that would help it. You wouldn't have to, but certainly that will help.
Here's my theory on that. You've got that huge amount of muscle, and now you've cut all those muscles in line, and they bleed out in line just like trees dehydrate in line. You know, a chunk of wood won't cure if it's really long. A piece of meat won't bleed out as well when it's really long. So when you cut that, you have a huge exposed a drain, basically, for that muscle.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, we're still going to talk about some of the cuts that you can get off a deer and where they come from, and then we'll be making some burger and schnauzer as well. Stick with us. We'll be back. I'm a backwoods boy, grew up on a dirt road. I'm a backwoods boy, no better place to go. This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And we've got our favorite butcher, Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats, in the studio with us, and we've been talking a little bit about how to properly field dress your animal. Tim, I want to wrap that up a little bit with if I wanted to get round steak off one, or if I wanted to get a nice loin chop or something, that animal's anatomy is a lot like a cow, right? I mean, I can go to the different parts of – is there such a thing as venison bacon?
Well, the venison bacon – properly would come off the ribs, and there's not enough meat on the ribs to make bacon out of.
You can't even make ribs out of them.
So, So could you take a hunk of, let's say, the round steak, that back leg meat, and make venison bacon out of that? Absolutely, you could. It'd be very lean, so you'd have to, I'll say, have a little bit of bacon to put in the pan so you'd have enough grease to fry it.
This is an exercise in futility, okay?
Right, right.
I think, what, Chop, you should know better than anybody. Why are you messing with bacon, dog?
I know. I just,
why are
you
messing with bacon?
I was just thinking because the rest of it is just like it, but there are some things, my point was going to be, there are some things that the wild game doesn't have that a domestic animal does.
Yeah.
True, right?
That's true.
So,
yeah.
You are
the guy that came up with the first tofu recipe for the show.
I understand. Right. So we've got round steaks on the hindquarters, the hams, you referenced them earlier.
Yeah.
Right, as a ham. And sometimes you can take those, bone them out, and make a chunk of meat. You know, we're big when we smoke pork, we use shoulders.
Yep.
Can you do that with the front shoulder of a deer? It's not like pork where it's got that big layer of fat on it, though, right?
That's correct. So if you're two things I would do. Number one, I would bone it out.
Okay,
definitely.
And just my opinion, I'm not a real lover of cooking venison down the flavor that comes off the bone. Unlike
say that
beef.
Again.
And so I don't care for the flavor that comes out of the bone of venison. So if you
so
did
you like,
the
bone out of it,
I
right.
like the bone out of
right.
it.
Right. So can I interject just for a second here? What do you think about this? And I like his question. And I also want to try this year. Maybe I'll finally do it. I've been thinking about doing it, but what do you think about taking that piece of meat Job's talking about and corning it?
That would come out great. So corning it, which you want a lean piece
right.
of meat anyway.
And
so
that piece of meat's
front shoulder kind of the deer. There's a lot of
tough.
Yeah.
A lot
there's
of
still
junk
a,
going
well,
on.
Well, there's still a lot of connective tissue,
yes.
which with the pig makes it such the great perfect tool to do a pulled pork. Product is all that connective tissue is flavor. But the flavor in that connective tissue in the deer, some guys say, well, I want to get all that silver skin off. Well, to me, it's more important to get it off the bone.
You'll be retired by the time you get it all off.
Yeah, right. Yeah, in that shoulder meat. But you were asking about smoking that shoulder. What I would do, take that shoulder, bone it out, and if you have, you know, some meat string, or even if you didn't want to tie it back together, leave it kind of laying opened up. Then I would get some pork fat, put that on top of it to smoke it so you can get some fat to run down through it.
Okay.
Then I think that'd come up pretty damn good.
But if you're going to make some corned beef
yep.
out of venison, so
yep.
it'll be corned venison,
uh-huh.
isn't that the piece that is often used?
Usually they'll use would be off that back ham, as
so
I call it.
The ham.
It's or the round steak. So
okay.
basically, if you're listening, it'd be your thigh meat. So if you were sitting in the easy chair on your lap, that top muscle meat on your thigh.
You pick that one? Because there's less connective tissue?
Yes, and then traditionally in like a corned beef or pastrami, they're using the
nicer,
round.
Nicer, yeah.
Yep.
So,
and it's
so
solid
in other words,
muscle
that front
meat.
Piece should be saved for grinding.
Yeah, I would say grinding.
So you
the shoulder.
Yes, the shoulder.
So you don't
meat.
Have to take all that silver skin out. You can just grind
yep.
it up.
Yeah.
And that's, I think... I'd have to say that's a great idea because I always struggle with all that silver skin too when I'm making jerky or whatever.
Yep.
And that's something we can talk about briefly too if you want to opine on venison jerky. But I've screwed up plenty of it trying to get it perfect. I've come to the point where I just say, just use the crummy meat, leave the silver skin alone because here's what happens. That silver skin just shrinks up, and you can pull it off when it's smoked.
Yep.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. So, yeah, you can get it out of there. So, my opinion, if I'm going to eat like a chop, you know, so the basic cuts I would use, pull the back straps out is going to be the chop. Obviously, the inside tenderloins, and if you want some steak meat, take it off the back leg, off the thigh, everything else I'm going to grind. I'm going to make a venison burger or... Although one dish in my youngest daughter, she absolutely loves, if I was going to take some of the front shoulder meat to use as stew meat, so it's barbecued venison and rice.
Oh.
And basically you're taking pieces of stew meat, brown it up, and then you'll cook that down. I always put some onions in there. Whatever your favorite barbecue sauce is, have it swimming in there like gravy.
So you're not going to worry about the silver skin either, are you?
Nope. And so put that in. You're going to finish cooking that in the barbecue sauce
Almost and like then, a crock pot thing.
Yeah, but the meat, I mean, it's swimming in the sauce like gravy, and then you're going to take that mixture when it's done and serve it over white rice.
Right.
And the blandness, or noodles, but we always do rice, and the blandness of the rice really takes in, I'll say, the tartness of your barbecue sauce. Son of a biscuit eater, does that come out good.
Wow.
So my youngest daughter, Dad, please get a deer. We need venison and rice.
And if you go to Sobey Meats, you can find American Stockyard barbecue sauce, which is like our favorite.
Yep.
Apple.
Especially the apple.
Harvest apple.
Yep.
Job loves that apple. Man.
Yeah. Especially on pork.
I like all of them, but they've got the blues. They've got the Memphis, which is really good.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. My mom used to can that. And I've also kind of...
Canned venison?
Yeah, I've kind of threatened to can some this year. I'm thinking it'd be a good year to take two so I can actually can some up because I'm in a canning mode.
Yeah.
I just saw beets at the market last night, and it's like my daughter loves pickled beets, Maggie, and she's going to give birth here in about a month. So if I'm going to get her to help me do some canning, I got to get that
Get her now.
Get that done.
Baby beets coming at you.
Yeah.
When you're going to do that with your canned venison, one of my aunts used to do it all the time, and she'd always put a cube of beef tallow or beef suet in the jar, and that would stay in there, and some of the flavors of the beef draw into the venison, and my brother worked for my uncle, and then sometimes they'd have that, and he said, you know, of course,
suet.
As you said, suet, and he says, your meat. And that's my nickname. So he says, meat, that makes the best doggone venison, and just take it out of the jar and dump it on noodles or whatever. And
that sounds like some man food. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
All right, we're having too much fun here. We might want to do another hour since we got Tim here and we got all this meat. Brian, can you run out and get some beer for us? No, we got to head to deer camp. Anyway, today's man law. Women love men of action. Something about a confident and purposeful man can be extremely attractive to women. Your confidence is conveyed through your posture, and walking is no different. She can get a sense of your confidence through your body language. Whether you slouch your shoulders or you look down at the floor, these will lead her to form a general impression of you. Men, walk with purpose.
Like a buck in the rut.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they have their head down quite a bit, so I don't know.
With a purpose.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. We have my friend Ted owns this property. It's in a family trust, so it's not mine, but I treat it like mine because I'm kind of the one who hunts it and takes care of it, right? And we just had a logger come in and take out 55 beech.
Wow.
Big, big beech.
Son of a beech.
Son of a beech.
These anyway, were the parent beeches.
Whatever. Partridge in a beech tree.
Right.
And that really changed the whole pattern of the place up there. So I'm learning now what the deer did. And across the road, some builders from Rockford own a couple hundred across from us. They took out 50 acres of pine. So I've got this big strip of, I mean, clear cut, gone, where they cross between our two properties. So I'm the cameras are coming in really handy because I'm seeing how they've changed, and it actually changed to our advantage. So I think having, I don't know, I love, this is my favorite time of the year. Can you tell?
Yeah, oh yeah, I love this time of year.
And Tim brought us all kinds. Look, we've got hillbilly jerky. We got some medium sticks with cheese, and we're going to be all set to take up to deer camp
today. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. And but coming up next, we might wag your goo with some Wagyu. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it?
At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Let me tell you that. And you know, it's not so much the heat as the gosh darn humidity. And then, you know that, you know, when you sit there in the bed and you're just sweaty, you know, and you go to reach for the water on the nightstand and you slide right out of bed and the wife says, "Stop making so much noise, you're waking me up, go to sleep." Well, let me tell you,
yeah.
Times like that make me think about moving up north, you know.
Good idea.
Yeah, I'd do it too. Of course, then I couldn't watch the Packers. You know, the Packers are...
Welcome back.
Like the Packers.
You're listening to Grilling Guys and to Youpers.
Who can
Grilling Guys Talk
Somebody,
Network.
You know?
We're live from Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, and we've been having a great time. Who has more fun than we do, Bob?
Nobody.
I mean, this is awesome.
Not the Garden Boys.
Always a pleasure to have Tim Sobey in the studio with us. And we want to wrap this up. We've been talking a lot of venison, but Wagyu, right? Not the spaghetti sauce, but Wagyu. Explain what that is.
So it's a breed of beef, and I'm super excited because we actually just got our first local Wagyu in this week.
Now all I can think of is spaghetti sauce.
Yeah. And did a steak on the grill last night, and the best terminology, I was telling some of my other meatheads in the shop today too, it almost has a buttery quality about it when you're eating it. And so, of course, you know, you got to snitch a piece when it's still on the grill, make sure it's
done. Isn't the marbling ridiculous in it?
The marbling was fantastic. And so we're still working out the details. I'm in high hopes that we can get things worked out that we'll have this in our shop all the time.
So basically, Wagyu is the American version of Kobe.
Correct. Yep. And it's, have to call it American Wagyu. So there's no... no misdemeanors. We're not taking anything from anybody. So actually, a Holstein, everybody looks at the black and white cow. Well, that's a milk cow.
Right.
The Holstein is the only breed where all the males that aren't going to be used for breeding bulls, they turn them into steers and they raise them for beef cattle. So what they found out is using the semen from the Wagyu.
You can't say that on the radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. The straw. The straw, as it's called, from that Wagyu.
We call them
bull.
Navy guys.
Oh, there you go. And they'll breed them to a Holstein cow. So it's, you know, it's that mix coming out of there.
It's amazing how much Holstein is used now in beef production. That one I've got in the freezer is a Holstein.
Yeah. Well,
there's so
that
much never
used
too.
That
yes.
never used to happen.
No, and
they're good eating, let me tell you.
Absolutely. If a Holstein is properly finished out, I would put a Holstein against any Black Angus on the planet.
And it's not a racist thing.
No, not at all. And so it doesn't matter what that beef-type cattle is. But as the farmer was telling me, the Holstein just seemed to take the good quality genes from that Wagyu and really brings out the marbling in the Holstein. And they don't have as much waste on them either.
That's crazy.
It is.
So it's not used to storing fat in those places that maybe a Hereford would be. So it's distributing it in the marbling?
Within the marbling is actually what's in the muscle of the meat.
Crazy.
So like deer, you know, they have their tallow is on the outside. With beef, then they get the marbling that actually runs through the fibers. So this is taking that animal and then putting more marbling into it. And the flavor, even the smell of it on the grill, it has a sweeter smell to it.
That's beautiful.
It's phenomenal.
So
well,
you're going to be having this in the shop in the near future.
It's in there right now, and yes. So we're hoping to have it every week.
Wow.
Well, thanks
good.
For bringing up all this jerky and sausage. Sobey Meats on Remembrance Drive, one of our original sponsors, and I didn't even get to mention the fact that the only reason I got to meet you is because I was doing a class on jerky and sausage, and I had to go in and get supplies from you. So that's how long this friendship has gone.
15 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. Really good. Tim, where can people find you?
3450 Remembrance Road, and that's the way to go.
There we go, baby. Sobe Meats, if you've ever listened to Grilling Guys before, you know we don't shop anywhere else. So thanks for listening. If you're getting up in a tree like Barbecue Bob and I are, be safe, strap yourself in, shoot a big one, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.
And that's when I seen it there. The 30-point buck.
30-point buck.
30-point 30-point buck. 30-point buck.
30-point buck. 30-point buck. 30-point buck.
Well, he was 8 foot tall, weighed 12,000 pounds. With every step, there was a...